I'm recording too, but I'll make also make Luke a co-host.
Well, lovely.
You have to pander to him like that. That's the first rule of comedy. No pandering.
All right. Well, I mean, I guess welcome guests and welcome listeners to another episode of Lovers Separated by Time, Circumstance, and a Global Pandemic.
Can we play the jingle somehow?
Do we have the jingle?
Does anyone remember how it goes? Can you hum it?
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah. The jingle. How do you not remember the jingle from Will It Blend?
It's in my head. It's like.
Sometimes Will It Blend videos wake me up in the middle of the night in a cold sweat. You know, I see the eye.
You just watch something heinous being blended. right in the back of your eyelids.
Wait, let me share that. I'm going to share my screen and hopefully.
It's really on the tip of my tongue.
Are you seeing my screen?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, let's see this.
I didn't hear you guys trying to hum it.
I don't think we're getting any sound.
I can't hear anything. Maybe it's playing for you on your recording.
Yes.
Ooh, there, I'll hit it on the phone.
No, I got it. I have to click clear.
Oh, he's got it.
Share computer sound. This is all like what my professors can't figure out.
Start it over.
Wait, can we just pause for a second? I just want to go through Neil's tabs really quick. I see two separate emails with an inbox over 300 emails, one of them over 600, and two articles open in the New York Times, one with J. Crew and one with the coronavirus. Neil, I see you're keeping busy. Love to see
you. I mean, you're staying up today. Yeah,
J. Crew is going out of business, guys.
You're kidding.
They're going bankrupt.
What am I going to wear in my summer in Nantucket now? Good lord.
I'm wearing J. Crew
wear
right now.
Is all of the things that you're going to get in the J. Crew going out of business sale.
Yes.
Extravaganza.
Yes.
Everything must go.
All right. So thanks for analyzing my tabs. Let's go to the theme.
Question. I love.
We did a pure audio file before it. So
do we know what the Will It Blend man's name is?
Tom Dixon. Know?
Okay,
it's actually
it was said so on the screen.
Okay.
All right, thanks, bud. So, in these strange and uncertain times, I think we should definitely start the conversation off with our visit to Chili's last May, or maybe last April.
No, absolutely.
Yeah, Applebee's, guys. We are not nearly fancy enough to be going to Chili's, all right?
That's fair. You kind of threw me off my game when you said Chili's earlier.
That's on me.
Let it be known that at this point in the podcast that Luke is not only drunk enough to mistake Chili's for Applebee's, he also spelled news with a K.
Yes.
It's knowledge, dude. That's all it is.
So, the trip began when we all kind of united at my apartment, my junior year apartment in Fisher Hall. And
what a place.
It's a great place. Miss it dearly. And I mean, I think I kind of went in with the bravado of being 21 years old, which you two did not yet have. And we'll definitely explore that more later as the trip kind of develops naturally.
Was I incorrect to think that that wouldn't have been an issue in our trip to Applebee's?
No. I think you're totally justified in thinking it wouldn't be an issue. And again, we'll get into that later, and I'm really excited for that part of the story. I think do some, you know, that's a little bit of foreshadowing for our listeners.
Of course.
Yes. So, I mean, I went in, you know, kind of guns blazing, and right before we left, I don't know if you remember, but I did, you know, in fact, rip two shots of Burnett's Pink Lemonade Vodka.
Oh, I remember, of course.
Yeah.
A detail had escaped me, but I'm glad you brought it up.
Oh, I remember. So, then right afterwards, we took a little trip to It was a bus station, a bus stop on Northampton Street. It was a significant walk away, but you know, we did it to try to understand the middle class. You know, it's Northampton's one of these swing counties that's so critical in the 2020 election, and we were really quite prescient to be exploring it and the working people there by taking the Lanta bus. The Lanta, yes.
Oh, my Lanta, yeah.
Yeah, so I mean, can you guys tell me about your experience on the Lanta? What you remember from over a year ago? If you have any takeaways from way back when?
Well, to start off the journey, we had to walk, I think, a good like 15 minutes to the bus station, which I guess can range for different bus passengers. But in my experience, I guess it's a pretty standard sort of bus trip. It made it even more authentic that it was overall very uncomfortable, even yes. though we had access to cars on campus, I think, at the time.
I mean, yeah,
I don't think any of us had cars at the time, correct? Or did JD, you have one at the time?
JD had, he did, but he wasn't, it was not working that day. Not that we knew that at the time. We found that out later.
Yeah. That's true.
You wanted to go to Giant, but it would not start.
Also, I think if we all wanted to rip two shots of Burnett's, you know, the Lanta bus line was the only way to get around, you know.
And I think that was a really, you know, deep critic or like satire of college students on our part. I mean, at least maybe to be using this working class mode of transportation as kind of like a backup, because we were all planning on getting blitzed on a $1 strawberry Rita's, Twizzler
Rita's. I remember a overwhelming sense of guilt being on the bus. You know, I saw people going to work and I was purely two shots of Burnett's deep trying to get some chicken tenders at Applebee's, you know. I felt like people could see it, you know. I people knew, you know, that boy just wants some chicken tenders and he's drunk. And I'm just trying to go to work. And it kept me up for nights, honestly. It was tough.
Yeah. And that guilt continued to color the experience as we made a special request to stop at Applebee's, which was not
That's exactly what I was going to bring up.
Right off of, directly off of a main route, we made them stop just next to a grass median where just the three of us hopped out and ran across the Applebee's parking lot.
In the pouring rain.
Yeah. Yeah. So I mean, I think we were trying to have kind of like a covert exit, because you can kind of press the bar on the side of the bus or pull down the string, and that, you know, alerts the driver that your stop's coming up. So we did that, but I think the driver was like starting to slow down. He said like, "Where are you guys going?" And then we're like,
Nobody had ever stopped at the Applebee's stop before in that bus. That was the first time that bus driver had ever stopped there. So I'm glad
we were forced to admit publicly the destination.
Yeah, this is us.
really making us confront our decision.
It was tough. But nearly as tough as the adversity we faced when we sat down in the Applebee's.
Yeah, absolutely. So, I mean, this is definitely not my story to tell. I'll kind of cede the floor to you guys. I mean, we definitely start a little bit before, you know, the moment of truth, but, kind of set the scene for us.
So I think that one of the main reasons we were so intrigued by a trip to Applebee's was the monthly dollar drinks that they have. You know, I mean, America is just always on the edge of their seats at the end of the month. Like, what drink are they going to have next? You know, is it going to be a Long Island iced tea? Is it going to be a margarita? You know, it's going to be something that's really going to get you. You're going to want to go to Applebee's. That month, it was a Twizzler. What was it? There was a Twizzler straw.
It was a straw burrito.
Twizzler straw burrito. I mean, how are you going to see that and not say, "I need to go to Applebee's right now"? So that's what we did.
$1 with a Twizzler included? I mean,
the Twizzler's probably worth more than a dollar by itself, right?
Okay, it was a strawberry dollarita was the official name, by the way.
Strawberry dollarita.
Yes. The straw burrito is the Bud Light thing in the can. I'm sure if you're familiar.
Is that what they did?
They just poured a Bud Light drink in a cup with a Twizzler in it?
No. There's like a whole separate thing.
Between a strawberry and a strawberry dollarita.
I wouldn't have put it past that.
For the uninformed, honestly. is a tall boy Bud Light brand. I believe like 7%. I had a phase where I drank a lot of those, and they didn't probably. There was one summer when I drank those on like a very regular occasion, and they give you probably the worst hangover I've had in my entire life.
What's your experience with those? Have you ever had them?
Yeah, I've had one. So I was at my only experience with them was at a Dodger game where you can get either a Bud Light in the same size or a straw burrito for around $16. I mean, just a ripoff. But I'm like, you know, if I'm going to pay $16, I think I want a little more pizzazz than just a normal Bud Light. And yeah, it provided that pizzazz. But JD, you were correct. The hangover the next day was difficult. Yeah.
It's brutal. It's brutal. Upon consuming two straw burritos, you are guaranteed to be done until at least 1 p.m. the next day.
Instant regret, yeah. Especially considering it cost $16. But, you know, that's another story another time. Okay, so where were we? We walk into Applebee's.
We're seated at a very sticky sort of booth.
It was sticky, okay.
I wish that I remembered the decorations around us more, because I remember they were really...
I was about to get into this. Yeah.
Okay,
so
please.
This is one of my main qualms, I guess you could have, with Applebee's. They have, like, small picture frames of, like, I don't know how to explain it, like, things that are kind of homey, you know what I mean? Kind of make it look like a bar, like a local bar. And it's, I don't know if they're, like, if I go to every single Applebee's, are they going to be the same photos in the picture frames? I never know, and I'm curious, like, who decorates each Applebee's? I don't know.
I mean, they do have, like, location-specific things. They just kind of plop Easton from here to, like, from place to place. I'm not sure if you remember that.
Okay.
I wonder if it's, like, just white people in those photos, if you're in Maine or something. Because it's just like, it's just like, you just can't suspend your disbelief that these are pictures of like actual patrons.
Okay. For some reason, like, the idea of an Applebee's in Maine is like very weird to me. Like, right? Like, it doesn't feel right. It's kind of like how, I'm not sure.
Do they serve fish? Like, do they serve lobster? Like,
oh man.
A local catch, yeah.
Oh yeah, it's like some
a lobsterita, if you will.
Stop. Oh my god. I think it's like somebody from my high school like joined the army, and he would like always post pictures. This is like unrelated, but he always would like go to Red Lobsters, and like one day he was just like at a Red Lobster in like the middle of Oklahoma, and like the fact that they would just have Red Lobster and like so far from any body of water was, and that he would like just take a picture of it like on his Instagram to flex, like
as a flex.
Yeah, I think he was trying to flex.
That's gotta be one dusty lobster.
Yeah.
Do you guys have sizzlers?
We used to have a sizzler on like the main drag near me. Not many years though. Close like 15 years ago.
I consider Red Lobster, Applebee's, and Sizzler in the same tier of restaurant. I'm just wondering if that's a similar opinion with you guys.
I'm not familiar with, I've never been to Red Lobster, so I'd probably put it like, for me mentally, it's like alongside maybe just like a step, it's around Chili's.
Because
you would put Chili's above Applebee's, right?
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. Yeah.
They have baby back ribs, which Applebee's does not have, so.
I guess Applebee's have the sizzling fajita? I mean, that is just...
So yeah, is that what
sizzlers? That's an attraction on its own. I mean,
when I hear sizzlers, I assume it's just like exclusively fajitas.
It's just fajitas.
It calls to mind the loud arrival of someone else's fajitas past your table as it sizzles, and you have not received your food.
I should have gotten a fajita. Yeah, no, absolutely. Everyone's experienced that.
Yeah, I mean, actually, I don't want to like be too hot takey, and I know my food takes are usually pretty chilly, but not, I mean, I just don't like peppers, like pepper. I don't like bell peppers, and I think that they kind of ruin fajitas for me.
That's a pretty hot take. That's a pretty hot take.
I mean, any fajita take would have to be pretty hot, right?
Good. That was good, Neil.
Thanks. Thank you. So anyway, do you guys want to continue to talk about your experience with the strawberry Dollarita?
Yeah, JD, where were we?
We'd been seated in the sticky booth, and you were observing the sort of generic Getty photo decorations that they have of supposedly local patrons.
Yeah, yeah. At the time, we were both under the age of 21, correct?
Mm-hmm.
I was severely under the age of 21. I'm pretty young. I believe our fake IDs were not the best at the time.
Both from Connecticut, both very bad.
Mine was Rhode Island, which
Okay.
I think from coming from California, I thought that would be great. You know, I mean, it's pretty niche. Nobody lives in Rhode Island, I guess. But upon being here for a year or two, I realized how stupid that was. I don't know if I've ever met anybody from Rhode Island.
Tracy.
Oh, is she from Rhode Island?
Yeah.
Okay, there's one.
Omeki.
Okay, yeah.
Duncan,
God bless, yeah. So, yeah, we had some pretty bad IDs that we bought our freshman year of college. And we promptly ordered the Dollaritas.
I just wanted to say, like, I think that they actually came around and asked for drinks, and you two were actually quite hesitant to, like, kind of dip your toes in the water. And so what had happened was I was kind of, as I said, going in guns blazing. And I was really confident about my drink ordering. So I said, I'll have the Dollarita. And then you guys were kind of caught off guard because she said, like, oh, I'm going to need to see everybody's IDs at the table.
Oh, it's a Pennsylvania thing, right?
Because, yeah, one person can't be served unless everybody at the table is 21. So mm-hmm. I had my ID, like, ready to go. And then you guys had to kind of, like, act quickly. Because I think it was JD. You had two IDs with you. One was terrible but scanned, then the other one was okay but did not scan. Is that correct?
That's always the dilemma. Yeah.
It's a tough trade-off. See,
you never know. Like, you never know what they're gonna do,
Upon seeing the person, you have to sort of make a judgment call. Like, does this look like the kind of person who just goes, yep, you know, or do they bring it back to the machine?
Yeah.
Tough one. Yeah. I mean, Applebee's, you have no clue, you know. You have no prior knowledge. You just don't know. What's the corporate protocol, you know? Who knows?
It's corporate, but at the same time, you know, not really up to what I would assume a lot of codes that a lot of other places are up to. So it's hard to say what the kind of rigor and demand of their staff is experiencing on IDs and the usage of fake IDs.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So I think we both gave them, I mean, our fake IDs. I gave her my just really shitty one that scanned. And I don't know what you did, but
I also elected to give her the one that scanned.
Yeah. So she looked at them and disappeared for a while. Look at you, Neil.
So it can't be understated what a while means. A while was like an actual, like, 10 to 12 minutes.
Oh, for sure.
It was enough time for us to devise a plan about if we see police enter the parking lot, we're going to scatter. You know, we're going to go. I mean, they're not going to be able to catch all of us, you know. Someone here is the slowest. That's unfortunate, but, that's our best route there.
You know, we were pretty close to Target. We could go and buy some hair dye, you know, sort of.
Start a whole new life. Yeah. I think to this day that was my most scared moment using a fake ID in college, which is just hilarious that it was at an Applebee's. Nothing was more tense than that. I've never been just more nervous, but it worked out in the end. She came back after, you know, a good 10-15 minutes of what it felt like, and she said she just had never seen our Rhode Island and I don't know where you were from IDs before.
Connecticut was so stupid because I'm from Connecticut.
I don't know what she was doing. Like, I feel like she was just Googling, like, what does a Connecticut license look like? I'm like, yeah, like, that looks kind of similar. But it worked out. We got our Dollaritas and the rest of our food. Does anyone remember what they ordered?
Yes, actually. Oh, yeah. I got... Chef Bulgarelli's stuffed rigatoni.
Oh, that sounds lovely.
Yeah, you know, actually, it honestly was. It's like, I think it's like one of the last times I've, like, eaten red meat in my life. It's And it was just like a rigatoni with like cheese and like a little bit of ground beef, which like the ground beef was like pretty underwhelming, which kind of led to my decision to stop eating it entirely.
I was about to ask, was that the last time you ate red meat because it was so disappointing? Or
it was like so disappointing. I'm like, I think that was probably my last ever experience with ground beef because I it was so underwhelming. But I mean, otherwise it was really good. It was like really, really like, I don't even want to say doughy. It was more like waxy breadsticks.
Lovely. Yeah, that sounds good.
I have to say, I mean, I did enjoy it. The sauce was fine, but I mean, yeah, I overall like 6.5 out of 10 food, not terrible. Definitely worth it for the Dollaritas. But I certainly know that was not the case for Mr. JD Kennedy.
Yeah, so I ordered what I consider to be the best side of the menu because I really did not have a lot of like culinary abilities of the Applebee's staff. So I went for the full cheese mac and cheese with chicken tenders, and it had some sort of like a denim about barbecue sauce or flavor, like barbecue tenders or something. So upon receiving it, I couldn't figure out where the barbecue came into it. Everything sort of had a brownish tint. And the other three cheeses were impossible to find. Even the first cheese was really difficult to find. It was mostly just like macaroni in this sort of watery brown sauce that tasted like ass. And the chicken tenders were pretty standard. I think, you know, just it's really, I guess, hard to fuck up chicken tenders. They're definitely not made in house. They're just frozen chicken tenders. But they were kind of soggy from the brown sauce. But when I had kind of cleared the food, was not barbecue sauce. Was not a meat sauce. It was really like, to this day, I have no idea what it was, but it made all of the macaroni completely inedible. So I ate the two chicken tenders that were sitting on top of the mac and cheese. And then after like mac and cheese, like felt really sick to my stomach, couldn't drink. I think I had like one or two strawberry Dollaritas. Probably the worst food I've ever been served.
Oh, wow. Wow. Okay. Restaurant. Yeah.
Definitely the worst food I've ever served in an actual restaurant. Like in a place where like a chef prepared it for me upon order. Like made to order food. It was like, I don't even know how you mess up mac and cheese like that.
Do you think that Chili's have a head chef?
That's like, what I was going to say. Like, what Applebee's. Do you think? Like,
it's cold.
Applebee's. Oh. You said Chili's. do you think Applebee's has a head chef? I don't. Is there a person in charge of everything coming
out? There's got to be, right? Otherwise, it's chaos.
Or is it just like that's the guy on the fryer? Like he's in charge of that.
I think my question was like, do you think they would just have like an overly corporate name for it, like culinary advice? Not. Culinary advisor or like supervisor or kitchen supervisor or something.
I'm thinking Queen Bee is probably.
That's a tough one.
I'm looking. They have cook. You could be a cook.
That's just a cook. Mean. Yeah, just a cook. Yeah. JD, I have a couple questions for you. You mentioned you were not able to discern which cheeses they used in their multiple cheese blend. Are you normally able to figure that out? Like if you have a four cheese pizza from a respectable establishment, can you figure out what all four cheeses are?
Well, so the point I was making was not that I could discern what the individual cheese types were, but that usually when you get a four cheese blend, there's some sort of variation in color and texture between the cheeses.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Maybe not texture if it's melted, but you know, like, usually there's some like light yellow, some yellow, and some orange because it's, you know, they try and pick sort of distinct cheeses. There was like barely even cheese to start with on it. It was like someone had shredded up some American cheese and like kind of forgot about it and like put a little bit on and like it wasn't even warm. Like it was warm, but it wasn't hot. it definitely wasn't hot. Yeah, I guess fair enough. That the brown mixture was like water and grease. Like there was nothing barbecue even remotely related about it.
Okay, that's pretty gross. You also said you picked the thing that you thought they could mess up the least. I had to disagree with you there. I think I went that route, and I just got the chicken tenders. I think you got a little fancy with the order, and you went with the mac and cheese, and I think that's where you went wrong.
They didn't mess up the chicken tenders that were on the mac and cheese. They were fine. Despite being soaked in that sauce, they were actually okay. I think what they did is they like got one of those scrapers on the grill and like were cleaning the grill off and they poured some water on it and just scraped the rest of the grease sort of into my bowl on top of the chicken tenders and mac and cheese and called it barbecue because it's off of a barbecue grill.
I mean, it's remarkable that this is still like clearly deeply affecting you.
Because I feel like you can't forget. I mean, like when you haven't experienced that harrowing, like do you guys know definitively the worst food you've ever been served, made to order at like a food place, like at a restaurant?
I don't even know. No, I don't think I can name it at the moment.
So no, if you knew, do you think you would forget that?
I don't know, because we haven't experienced it. I mean, I would probably just go for something probably from Lower or Simon's.
Yeah,
I mean, college food.
You know it? No.
College food.
But a black bean burger from Gilbert's.
That's your fault for ordering a black bean burger from Gilbert's, Neil. I mean, yeah. What do you expect from the staff at Gilbert's? You think they're going to put together a good
bench? Oh my God. I was I was trying to revive the satirical Lafayette newspaper that I had like run for about a month. We got 10 minutes. And I was Teddy Beamer was like wanted to write for it, and she was telling me about her ideas. And one of hers was that she wanted to write an article about how everybody at Gilbert's has the same haircut
across genders.
Yeah, just everybody has like a bowl cut.
That's great.
It's unreal.
Gilbert's humor is it's a pretty big category on Lafayette's campus.
Oh yeah.
No matter who you talk to, everyone's gonna love a good Gilbert's joke, you know?
And everybody's got a strong opinion.
Of course.
Where do you rank Gilbert?
Oh, do you just mean in the Lafayette dining hall?
Of Lafayette cuisine, where is it ranked?
That's tough. Okay, let's start at the bottom. I said we start at the bottom.
Upper.
Yeah.
All right. Well,
yeah, it's upper.
The whole list, and I can see I can write it out so we can keep track.
Oh, I'm gonna grab another beverage. Hold on.
Okay, so definitely bottom is upper. Let me see.
We're gonna have to start another meeting if we're embarking on this, Tommy.
Yeah, but I'll keep an eye on the meeting time. But it looks like Luke's back already, so we're good.
We haven't even talked about twins yet.
No, not even.
Oh my God, no.
That might be the next episode. You know, we're gonna be able to crank out a lot of episodes coming up.
I hope so.
Not much going on.
No, certainly not. Okay, so I actually never made it to the Eco Cafe. I don't know where you guys rank that.
I've frequented it many times. I can give some insight.
Okay, so maybe we should just do a general good or bad so that we have like some sort of like way to like group the two before we do a ranking, even though we've already agreed that upper's the worst, right?
that's already the bottom. Yeah.
Okay, cool.
Do you have a list of all of them?
Yes.
Can I pitch Simon's as a number one?
No, JD, we're not at number one yet. Come on.
We're working on a good?
Yes.
Simon's is definitely a good.
Yes.
Good. Okay.
Simon's is good. Marquee.
Agreed. I think good somehow.
Yeah, I think it's not a great, but it's good. What do you think, Luke?
Between it and upper, they both serve the same purpose as a mass cafeteria. You know what I mean? Like it's those are the two places where you go and you get a lot of food. Mm-hmm. It's definitely good compared to upper. So I'm going to give it a good.
Somehow. I don't know how they differ so much, but the an upper bad day and a marquee bad day just feels so different.
The garlic knots.
JD, do you still feel the garlic knots? Yes, Neil. Do you still feel the same way after considering how the Eggman treats you when compared to football players and athletes in the school? Yeah, and the ROTC kids.
You know, I'm really a second-class citizen, and I've come to accept that. You know, because if there's a baseball player or an ROTC kid in front of me, like, I feel like he would just let them cut me, honestly. Or Kat LaShin, by the way. Kat LaShin gets primo treatment from the Eggman. I don't know if you know who that is, but...
Oh, the Eggman. What a guy.
Yeah, he knows every ROTC kid by name and knows what's going on in their life. They're like, oh, how'd that exam go? Like, what the hell? Like,
you know, baseball players at this school and kids in the ROTC basically are serving the same, you know, level of superiority compared to you, I would say.
Apparently.
Yeah.
I mean, it is telling that I only know him as the Eggman. I greet him by name and his name. Like
very
going
true.
There
very true.
For breakfast most days of the week for 2 years.
All right. Okay. So yeah, I think Marquis is definitely a
good, but with qualifications, like with, you know,
in comparison. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Next up is lower.
I'm gonna give lower good. I think it's good.
Me too.
JD, thoughts? Okay. You seem a little perturbed by that.
It's good only because like there are steady options, but I would say the majority of the options are bad.
Oh yeah, it's
sure,
like it's like Culture 2, the Migos album. Yeah, most of the things are bad, but you just pick out the good ones, and you're set. Just don't mess with the bad ones.
But that was the whole point of the album. You know,
yeah.
You put out a lot. Some of it's gonna hit, some of it's not. That's
exactly.
What you're going for. That's lower is Culture 2. One of the greatest comparisons I've ever heard. Incredible. Oh, that's great. And who's Larry? Is Larry Quavo? Who is Larry? We're past it. Okay.
Skillman, good or bad?
Skillman, I've never really gotten anything there besides coffee.
Yeah,
it's are we
and by coffee
food and, included, or?
And by coffee I mean the whitest drink of all time, a passion fruit lemonade drink. I don't want to talk about it, but they do a good one. They make a good one. Yeah.
But I think we should talk about it just for a second, because I think Luke has made some real strides in his college career, because originally he wouldn't go to Skillman's by himself because he was too embarrassed to order the passion fruit lemonade.
You know, you got to walk by everybody on the computers with your fruity drink, and it's tough. You know, it's tough.
But he's
trying to make a name for yourself at this school.
I've seen you
take people see you walking around with that beverage in your hand. No.
Yeah. I've seen you take a few back, completely unaided, back to the basement while we were working together, and I'm really proud of you.
I appreciate it. I made a lot of strides, yeah. Skillman, I would say, is good. I've had no bad experiences with Skillman.
It's Starbucks.
I don't think I've ever had an exceptional experience, but yeah.
Like for me, Skillman is like kind of in between, because I can't like say it's bad for any reason. I think if I got the food, prepared food there, I'd probably be disappointed. And I never really went there too often for coffee.
Neil.
But
there we go.
Oh yeah, sorry, my internet.
That's like my favorite thing.
You're back. What'd you
say? That's been my favorite thing, when someone's audio speeds up after they've frozen and you hear everything they said like all at once.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. No.
So yeah, I was just gonna say that I think for me, so Skillman is like somewhere in between good and bad, just because I also never really got the food, and I feel like if I did get it, I'd be disappointed. But I mean, the coffee was always fine, as long as you like avoided like the actual coffee itself was not great. But like I remember getting a caramel macchiato once or twice, and those I enjoyed.
Mm. Okay,
those are extremely expensive though, like $6.
It's outrageous. Hey,
let's stop it right here, and then let's start a new. Let's start a new session.
Yes, okay. Perfect.
Let's start a new one.
Now, all right, and it,
well, you need to okay. Yeah. If you want multiple things, you have to make one of us a co-host. But
Eric Shin is now the co-host. JD, would you like to explain who Eric Shin is?
I think you can surmise the portmanteau. I'm a That's not a portmanteau.
Unreal. Bro.
Am I missing this? What is that?
Erection.
I just really didn't think you'd go down that route. You know, I thought better of you, JD. I thought better of you. No, I did not. And I don't know if I want to. I don't know if I want to know.
All right.
Unbelievable.
We live it to mystery.
This is an incredibly serious podcast, and for you to take it down that route is just disrespectful, to be honest.
Anyways, you sound like that video of the white lady listening to Vince Staples on the radio.
Hey, Neil, that's the most insulting thing I've ever heard in my entire life. Also, an incredible video. I mean, she had some great points, you know, some really good points, made you think, you know, but that was a good one. Where were we? We were talking about Gilbert? No.
Yeah, no, we were about to get to Gilbert's. Gilbert's good or bad.
No.
We just talked about
Skillman. I still have a point to bring up about Skillman. Well, it's more of a question to Luke. And the question is, how is the buffalo chicken wrap?
I've actually never had the buffalo chicken wrap.
Yes, you have. I know you've had the buffalo
chicken wrap. No, Aaron always got the buffalo chicken wrap.
I saw you get it, too. I know
I've never had a buffalo. You know I hate buffalo sauce. I have a theory. See? No, I have a thought that I'm from California, and ever since I came to this coast for school, I have made one main conclusion about people over here, and that's that they have a large love for buffalo sauce. I don't know what it is.
I don't think that's fair. I think it's literally Lafayette, California, because Buffer, for some reason, feels the need to put buffalo on everything.
That is true.
Pork chops. They will have buffalo mac and cheese. They will put buffalo in literally anything. They will slide fucking buffalo sauce in any dish that they can to make it just like a little bit less palatable.
So maybe I'm a little bubble here. Sure. That's fair. But there's just too much buffalo around me. And every time Aaron would get a buffalo chicken wrap, I felt need to make fun of the buffalo chicken wrap. I've never had one. I'm not a fan of buffalo. But yeah, that's definitely a knock on Skillman's, you know.
Do you like buffalo wings?
No, not really.
Good. Okay.
Yeah, I'm just not. Frank's Red Hot doesn't do it for me, the flavor.
All right. Gilbert's. Good or bad?
Gilbert's, okay. I got a couple things to say about Gilbert's. Yeah. I think that their whole ordering system is flawed. They place the single menu in the restaurant right at the door, which creates a sort of bottleneck. You know, you open the door and there's like new people there trying to figure out what they want right when you walk in. I think the ordering system is flawed in that sense, but I think overall it's okay. I don't know about you guys.
I mean, I think that they have a high ceiling considering all the dining halls on campus. I think that they can, when they're good, they're really, really good. But I mean, as with my experience with Black Bean Burger, they can go real low. And what I also want to say, like, especially like this past semester when they didn't have the like the vibrating and lighting up like numbers, where they would just have somebody like walk around and just like scream numbers. I think maybe Luke has experienced this more than I have, but I think there's nothing more in my life that I want to avoid than the feeling of being in trouble.
Okay, Neil. All right.
I think it strains from having gone to a Catholic elementary school. And when I hear like the people from Gilbert's like walk into like the one of the other rooms and just scream a number, it kind of reminds me of that. It feels like I'm in trouble for something, like I've done something wrong. Is that oversharing? Is that something I should maybe save for the counseling center? But you know, that kind of subtracts from the Gilbert's experience for me.
You're totally in the right, Dale. Be like Taryn were called out in any circumstance. I also don't understand why they regressed from a pretty good system to, you know, some antiquated, but they did it. I think we could make two distinctions between like pre-second semester senior year Gilbert's and what we experienced the last semester we were here. They're a little different.
Mm. Yeah, definitely. So where do we want to put Gilbert's then?
It's got like It's got pretty good food, but it's never enough. It's not like a, it's not a good meal.
Can I just say something? I feel like I need to interject here. JD, I've never seen you finish a Gilbert's meal, so the fact that you just said it's never enough is truly shocking to me. I'm like,
in on reflection of that, I think it's a valuable input. I don't like it enough to finish it. It's always kind of gross. So fair enough, actually.
Unbelievable.
So maybe, actually, that's not true. You've definitely seen me finish it. Every time I have you've seen me finish it much later in the day, often.
It's disgusting.
But every time I eat one of their barbecue chicken flats, I do finish it. Even though they always put way too much barbecue sauce on it. It's really
an obscene amount of barbecue sauce.
They just go ham. I really wish they would. I've had a single positive experience with their fried chicken burger, or their fried chicken sandwich.
Mm-hmm. I've had a similar experience, yeah.
There was one time when I asked for it with no mayonnaise and tomato, and they just completely ignored me. And another time when it was very good. Because it has smoked gouda, and it's got fried chicken and spinach, which is just, like, excellent.
Yeah, I think on menu, Gilbert's looks great. I think in...
Oh, yeah.
In practice, Gilbert's lacks a little sometimes. I think overall, I'd give it a good, though.
I want to give it a good.
JD, would you give it a good?
Yeah, I'd give it a good, but I would say their main offering is breakfast foods, breakfast sandwiches, and that's really what they like excel in, and I'm just not a breakfast sandwich kind of guy.
Yeah. Okay. All right. Simon's we've already
established. We regressed here. Do you think this holds any interest to our listeners?
Oh, of course. Of course. You know, people love this kind of content.
No.
All right. So that only leaves us with Simon's, which we've already decided is good.
I think we should delve into Simon's a little bit, though.
Never. The sandwich is never hot enough.
You got to ask him to put it through twice. Turn the ovens up. You know?
I've got some opinions about the heat of the sandwiches, because I think that's an outdated opinion, because they lowered the speed of the conveyor belt this year.
Oh, just this year.
They took it way down. It takes a lot longer, but the sandwiches can scorch at the end.
They probably listen then.
U.S. We listen.
That's good. Okay. All right.
Okay.
That's definitely an improvement. Okay, Neil, you spent some time on that part of campus. I don't really know how to describe what would you call that part of campus?
Purgatory.
Like Fishers and Kamine and.
I mean, like I feel like the path that runs through it, I think, is like historically called Frat Row, right? Or no?
Okay.
Right.
It's got a lot of Greek life on it. Yeah.
Something like that. That doesn't seem right because it's only DU on that group. But I don't know.
Either way, I just feel like Simons means something different to people that have lived down there.
Yeah.
Than others.
Obviously super convenient when you're like hungry at 11:30 and if you're the fisherman, mm-hmm. you walk like 30 feet and you're there.
Yeah.
And for me, it became like kind of a habit, like when I'd be moving my car on Friday from South College Drive to the Clinton lot on Saturday, or I do that Friday night, so then I could stop at Simon's on my way. And I wanted to bring this up to you guys, because I think I mentioned this to Luke, and I think I'd love to hear JD's opinion on this. There was like an unseasonably warm day in February when on Monday, I didn't have class, so I decided to make a quick trip up to Dunkin' Donuts to get myself a cold brew iced coffee. And I get back, I park my car, and then I didn't have a very good Tuesday. I was kind of like having a bad day already. And I get to my car, and I see a parking ticket. And I kind of look at it, and I kind of like lump it in with the rest of my already bad day, put it on my passenger seat. And I just kind of just ignored it. for forever, basically. It has gone totally good. It was only $25, which is like not terrible, but something that kind of rang a bell and like deep in the back of my head, like Luke and JD have definitely like, spoken around me about how Mafia College parking tickets are not real. So if you guys could just elaborate that on that, I think it would, you know, really calm me and this kind of worry in the back of my head that, you know, maybe I should have paid that ticket.
Yeah, so I think this is a big topic on Lafayette's campus. Are PSAFE officers real police officers, and do their instructions mean anything, or are they just kind of like, do this, and you're like, okay, you know, I don't know. Who knows? I recently have experienced driving across the quad, across Pardee, you know what I mean? You know that road that goes
through Pardee? I've heard this story, but I don't want to hear it again.
Yeah, and I'm right onto the circle in Farrenon, and a PSAFE officer was there, and he made eye contact with me and kind of put his arms up in a questioning way, like, what are you doing? And I kept going, and the man couldn't do anything, which leads me to believe that he has no power over me, and that he has a make-believe job. That's basically what I understand after that experience. I don't know if you guys have any other experiences, but I mean, has anything happened with your parking ticket? Have you been contacted?
No.
Yeah. I'm going to go ahead and say, throw that out, Neil. That's my professional opinion.
It's back at school, so there's nothing you can do about it.
There you go. You're good. JD, have you had any other experiences?
So what I would say about Lafayette parking tickets not being a real thing is that I have experienced that in a different sort of capacity, in that if you take your parking down to Bruce Hill, and you say literally anything to that man. Bruce Hill, by the way, is the head of he will void your ticket, pretty much.
And do you think that's like, because he knows he has no actual power over you, and he's like, "Yeah, you got me," you know?
I
can't do anything about it. But
supposedly, PSAFE is a branch of Easton PD.
I've heard that, but that just seems like a rumor, and I don't know. I need some facts.
No, it's written on the side of the car.
Okay, damn it. They do have the budget of what seems like a small town's police department. They have all new vehicles, a new building, you know. They got it going there, but.
Yeah, and so the other thing is, I was once accosted by the Lafayette police force, the PSAFE, if you will, and the prudent thing for me to have done in that situation was to have run.
Would you feel uncomfortable explaining the exact situation you were in?
So I had just
keep left, in mind there will be about two listeners total.
I had just left one of the arts houses at a party of one Ali Rosen.
Oh, you name names. Life. Wow, he's really going.
Oh, who cares? And I was heading up. What's the name of that road that passes by and goes in between Williams and Kirby?
That's a great question. No clue. The one that's across, that's like, yeah. Follows the gym. Anyway, yeah. Okay.
I was heading up there.
Oh, Hamilton.
At the time.
Hamilton. Yeah.
Okay. I believe it. oh yeah, you know, you are right. And so at the time I lived in the Fishers around 1:30 AM. So there was no open buildings for me to access, and I didn't want to go back to the party because I'd been at a different party beforehand, went to Allie's party, had discovered that it was just Allie and that guy Phil and like
guy
one
Phil.
Other person.
Great, okay.
He's like a junior. He's
okay, really you don't have to explain who Phil is.
Anyway. Allie and Phil and some other person, and I just had no desire to be at that party, so I left, and I wasn't going to go back, but I had to pee desperately, so I decided I'd find a little quiet dark corner and I would go pee there. Pretty much immediately.
Was it actually a quiet corner, or were you just peeing on the side of the gym? Like
it was not the side of the gym, it was the other side of the road. It was next to Williams Art Center, and in that sort of sequestered garage that has those banked concrete walls.
Yeah, I got you.
Yeah.
and so PSAF rolls up pretty much immediately. And what they said to me is, hey, come over here. And I go, I'd rather not.
You said that?
And he gets very angry with me. Proceeds to call for backup. Three other cars arrive to deal with me. Meanwhile, all they do is take down my name, my L number, like, I give them my ID, like, I mean, really nothing happened. They didn't pressurize me, like, nothing happened.
I'd rather not. We need backup.
and there's, like, three other PSAF officers, like, all just, like, looking at me, including that one guy who's, like, 5'1", and, like, bald.
Yeah, we all know the guy, yeah.
And they're just looking at me, like, shaking their heads, like, with a big pout on their faces, like, you are just despicable. You're the worst criminal we've ever seen. Like, and then at the end, I'm like, really, I mean, at this point, I really pulled it off, pretending like I was not inebriated, though I was. I shook his hand, and he shakes my hand, and then he goes, oh, ugh. You probably didn't wash your hands. And I was like, probably. I definitely didn't. Walked away free into the night. Got charged $125. Had to go down and before a judge in a suit and plead the case.
But so you had to go down to an actual judge.
Yep.
Okay. So maybe they have a little bit of...
There are a branch of ECB.
Okay. All right.
Lafayette College tried to find me an additional $100 and put me on DP1, and so I told them that I was contesting the case, and then they never followed up ever. So I think that's one step.
That's good stuff.
Yep.
I think if anybody wanted to analyze that through like a racial lens,
that would be a whole different. Oh boy,
that could be a whole like capstone or like, a whole project.
Yeah, that could be
so many layers.
That'd be good.
Oh my god.
Okay, so maybe PC's got a little bit of clout.
Oh yeah.
Anyway, to him.
I don't know how. I truly do forget. I think I brought it up as like.
Yeah.
All right. So basically. So all we had left was the Eco Cafe.
Okay. I frequent the Eco Cafe. It is good. They offer a variety of smoothies, which honestly are pretty good. Slightly overpriced, but, you know, what do you expect from the Eco Cafe, you know? Yeah, I would give it a good. I've never had a bad experience there.
Okay.
Yeah.
JD, any opinion? Because I never made it.
So I haven't eaten any of their food. I think I got like a Cliff Bar from there once. But what I have had there, they had a blueberry cider, which I thought might be good. Probably the worst drink ever.
You're speaking in very like... black and white terms here, JD. You've now told us about the worst food you've ever ordered from an establishment, as well as the worst drink you've ever eaten.
JD's had a tough time these past couple of years.
Oh yeah.
Honestly, I kind of stand by it. I definitely stand by the Applebee's food. That is by far the worst food I've ever received from an establishment.
What was so bad about the blueberry apple cider?
It tasted like someone melted a Blue Jolly Rancher into a bottle. I don't know what it was from, like an orchard. It was from like an actual farm. I don't know what they were playing at. Like it wasn't blueberry. And maybe it was like essence of blueberry with blue food coloring and just mostly sugar and water. But it tasted. Did you guys ever? Have you ever had a Switch soda?
Mm-mm.
Did your high schools ever have Switch vending machine?
No.
Okay. Well, yeah, in my middle school, we had a Switch vending machine, which only had sodas that were like the width and length of, and I don't know how to say it, like Izzy?
Izzy's, yeah.
Izzy, okay.
Yeah. Small?
No.
Got a little boy?
It's like an Izzy. It's like long. But
Yeah.
Like yes, that. Familiar.
Yeah. And it's called Switch, and it tastes like a melted Jolly Rancher that's cold. And they're really utterly disgusting, I guess, unless you like that sort of thing. I'd rather eat a Jolly Rancher than drink it. And that's what got me.
Okay. All right. So what would you give it, a good or a bad?
The food, I have no idea. I heard the soup's okay. Good.
Yeah, no, their soups are good. They got those pastas that are prepared from like a local place that are pretty good if you heat them up.
No, oh, yeah, those good. Are good.
Yeah, it's good. It's good.
Yeah. Guys, so anyway.
Buster Brothers, I give it a good.
Yeah.
I mean, I hate to break it to you, but it does seem like we gave everything a good except for Upper.
Okay, all right. Now we need to do the difficult job of ranking.
Yeah, so all right. It's 1, 2, 3, 4.
Let's
five,
go from the
six.
Bottom up. I think it gives a little more suspense for our listeners, you know?
Oh, absolutely. So 7 is Upper.
All right. What is second worst?
Lower, I feel like.
Lower. I would say. I would consider Skillman just for the lack of variety.
Yeah,
they have.
I think I was thinking Skillman.
Okay.
I mean, they're just coffee, you know.
For food, I think we can give Skillman a bad, really. I mean.
Yeah. I mean, they just have like prepared like.
That kind of thing never appealed to me, and I feel like if I ever had it, it would have been very disappointing.
Yeah, well,
you know what I know they have? They have those weirdly made PB&Js.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's like, it's built like a
Big Mac, is a triple decker.
Right. Or like a club sandwich. It's a PB&J club is really what it is. So it's slice, peanut butter, slice, jelly, slice.
Well, what makes a sandwich a club? Because I always thought it would be like, it would be bacon, like with bacon, lettuce, tomato, and mayo on three slices. Or is it just the three slices that makes it a club sandwich?
I think it's the three slices because you can have all sorts of stuff. You can have a trick club. You know, it doesn't need to be.
Yeah, right, I've always wondered what qualifies me as a club, but yeah.
A club sandwich, also called.
Club? I don't think so.
A club sandwich, also called a clubhouse sandwich, is a sandwich of bread, sliced cooked poultry, ham, or fried bacon, lettuce, tomato, and mayonnaise. It's often cut into quarters and held together by cocktail sticks. That's the Wikipedia page.
So I don't think that PB&J would be a club.
Not a club.
But it is in the style of a club sandwich or a Big Mac.
Okay. Yes. Yeah.
And it's frozen and it's disgusting.
Terrible. Okay. So 7, Upper, 6, Skillman, 5.
6, Skillman, 5. That's tough.
I've never experienced the Eco Cafe, so.
Yeah, you know, the Eco Cafe's got good smoothies, but that's really it. You know, they have the other packaged things that everybody else has.
Yeah, so I think the smoothies might give them an edge on the Skillman, but other than that.
I'd say Eco Cafe after that, just for the lack of variety.
Okay. So
yeah,
that leaves us with Simon's, Marquee, Mower, and Gilbert's.
Yeah, that feels good.
Okay, yeah, that feels great. That feels right.
Yeah, definitely.
Okay, Simon's, Marquee, Mower, and Gilbert's. Okay.
You know,
I
want to
toss
idea.
Marquee in there.
I think like the bottom two for me, the bottom two are Marquee and Gilbert's, and the top two are Simon's and no, that's not right.
This is so difficult.
I think the grease level of Lower has to be counted. Everything there is so greasy.
Is that just because you order things from the fryer?
No, I've had every fucking single type of food there. Like, I have not had the black bean burger, and I haven't had.
Well, that's the Gilbert's.
Anything with Chipotle mayonnaise.
What does Chipotle mayonnaise have to do with the grease?
I'm just saying, I'm stating my biases here. You know, but I think everything I've ever had is like so greasy. Do you remember when they used to have, this isn't greasy actually, this is the opposite of greasy. But you remember when they used to have those omelet bowls?
We used to go there for breakfast many, many years ago, and I would get the pancakes, and those were always like, okay.
I would always
we would get the omelet bowls, and they were always not good.
Watery. Really watery.
Yeah.
See, the grease or water, the substrate, the solution is always too.
All right. So are you making a case for guilt for lower being the next worst option?
I am.
Neil, thoughts?
I think I want it to be a little higher, but I think I understand.
I think I agree with you, Neil. Here's my thing. I think lower is open later than any other establishment, which definitely gives me, I don't know, like I think it definitely gives it a bump up because I always enjoy it when I'm either drunk or something.
Like 12:40 a.m. chicken tenders?
That's great. That just absolutely slaps. Yeah. I mean,
you know, that's true. That's not a factor I'd considered.
Yeah.
This is huge.
Even though the fries are horrible.
Terrible, terrible fries.
All right, this might be some pretty niche content, but I think in like the past 3 years, there have been maybe like 2-3 day periods where the fries have been like awesome.
I'd absolutely agree. Yeah,
like every once in a while they have like the same fries as Campus.
Mm-hmm.
Like no, maybe they run
when their fries are hitting. Everybody knows, you know, they're like the fries are hitting tonight.
They have like the double battered.
Yes.
No, seriously, that's basically what it is. And like I don't know if they like run out of their regular, like it's backwards. I'm not sure how familiar y'all two are with the Bible, but basically there's a parable where Jesus turns water into wine.
Mm-hmm. I think I'm a little familiar, yeah.
But basically like he at the very end of like this wedding in Cana, he turns the water into wine. And then obviously the water that Jesus turns into wine is like amazing wine. And everybody's like, wow, we're drinking this awesome wine. Like usually like we drink the awesome wine first and then we move on to the bad stuff. But now it's kind of flipped. So anyway, what I'm trying to say here is like, that's basically what lower is doing to us. Like they're always giving us the bad wine, but like their backup to the good stuff is the amazing stuff. It's totally backwards and terrible, but you know, every year or so, we get some great fries from lower. So that's a really great redeeming quality for me. Well, not really.
I agree. I think the highs of lower are very high and the lows are low.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
But I think the highs have something to say for the overall quality. You know,
yeah, I like the path that you took to describe that sentiment, Neil.
Yeah, thanks. It's the GNT.
Yeah, no, that was a great way to describe French fries.
It's a good.
I hate to say it, but I don't think lower is the next worst option. I think it's marquee in my book.
Yeah, I think that makes more sense for me. There's only so far that garlic knots can take you. I think this is where the end of the road.
Oh my god, are we on another?
All right, we gotta wrap this up in 10 minutes. All right, this is fair. Okay. JD, what are your thoughts on Marquee being the next first? I know you like Marquee. You go there a lot.
You know, but I will say it's got the kind of... I wish I could remember the word.
Like, maybe Gilbert. I think Gilbert's stuff. Might be the consensus choice. Because now I'm thinking about...
That's a good point.
Because I also think about the cannoli crepe from Lower, from Marquee. And I had email notifications on for the cannoli crepe.
How do you even do that? How do you go about getting email notifications?
It took like half an hour. So basically, anytime the words cannoli and crepe would show up next to each other on my Lafayette email, the email would be automatically flagged. I would get a mail notification from my iPhone, and Google and Gmail would like alert me to the email as soon as I opened up Gmail. I did not want to miss cannoli crepes. So I don't even like regular cannoli. Well, I do actually. But like
cannoli crepes are better than cannolis, I think.
That's one of the hottest takes I've ever heard in my entire life.
I think so too, just because like
almost shocking. Almost just a shocking take.
I don't even know if I can be part of this podcast with somebody that believes in a take like that.
No,
that
I agree, though. Disgusting. I agree.
Okay, but what I will say is the best crepe type of all is when they have strawberries and like assorted fruits, like strawberries, and it's usually like strawberries and blueberries, and not Nutella, because obviously I have a personal bias towards that because I'm allergic. But when they have melted chocolate chips, it's so good.
When they got melted chocolate chips, that's not a cannoli
strawberries on it. That is a fucking. I mean, that's just more.
Sure, that's a good crepe. That's a good crepe.
The crepes are meant to go in. And then second best is cannolis. Oh my god! Absolutely, god. Just put that cannoli cream with those chocolate chips in anytime.
Unbelievable. Eat the shit out. Incorrect. I'm gonna have to disagree with you guys on that one.
I'll even eat like when they got cannolis and pretzels with the caramel. That's dope.
That is just terrible. They put pretzels in the crepe. You know how many French people are rolling over in their graves because Marquis put pretzels in a crepe? That is unbelievable. Okay. I refuse to stand by that. I refuse. Marquis is the next worst option, purely because they put pretzel. Remember their burger crepe? They put lettuce, ground beef, and tomatoes and cheese in a crepe. That is despicable.
You know what I was going to bring up was the Philly cheesesteak crepe.
It's like the Philly cheesesteak crepe was
an actual abomination. It was an abomination of food in general. But let's not pretend you're like you were some sort of Parisian cuisine just because your name is Luke with a C and K. I mean, come on.
Okay. All right. Relax.
You eat Wawa just like the rest of us.
You know, I've been thinking about a lot. We've been talking about Marquis for a while. And my favorite Marquis memory, JD, I don't know if you remember this. Freshman year, when all three of us lived in Watson together, JD and I were going to Marquis once, and we knew Neil was sick, so we went to check up on him. And we opened his door, and Neil lived in the top bunk of a very tall bunk bed. I don't know how you got it that tall. And Neil opened the door, and the only way I could describe it is if, like, a corpse had somehow woken up. And he had just – he explained – he was covered in a blanket. I've never seen anyone look more sickly. And he said, I just fell out of bed. Very concerned for his health. And he just handed us a huge 32-ounce coffee mug and said, please, just fill this up at Marquis. That's all I ask of you. And we're like, okay, Neil, that's all we can do for you. And we did it, and that was it. But it's one of my favorite memories of Marquis. I'll always associate sickly Neil just wanting some Marquis coffee with Marquis. So I like Marquis a little more than I normally do, but I still think it's the worst out of all four options.
Wow. So, I mean, I have to say, I'm very touched that you remember that story. I think about that pretty frequently because I think – basically what had happened was you two fellas know this, but I have a terrible issue with being late to every single thing ever. And basically what had happened that morning was we'd agreed to get like breakfast at 9:15. And I think I woke up at like 9:12 and I kind of like realized it. And like, I was going down like the steps from my very, very tall bunk bed. And I was looking at the clock and I saw 9:13. And at that point I slipped and fell on the ground and I woke up I got a really massive head rush when I like sat up from my bed and I kind of like, it felt it as I was going down the steps. And I woke up 5 minutes later and like my back on like a cold linoleum floor. And I see that the time is 9:18, which meant that I had been fully unconscious for 5 minutes because I had gotten up too quickly from having fallen asleep and not woken up on time for breakfast with you guys. And then all I could think to do at that time was just like try to get some coffee. And you guys were headed to the dining hall. So I gave you my reusable cup, and that was a great story. I actually felt terrible that morning until I had like two sips of coffee, and then I felt awesome. So
that's great. You know, at least you didn't have to see your roommate naked again for the millionth time that semester.
You know, one of my most mortifying moments of college is just like every once in a while, like
my 360 whip.
Who's like, what?
That's one of my most mortifying moments of college. Sorry to interrupt, but
would you?
Please go ahead. The 360 whip. Luke remembers it fondly.
I watch it almost weekly at this point. I'm not going to lie to you.
And Luke, you should know that I watched the video of you. I guess the cinematography is impeccable of me hiding under Aaron's bed when Dunya was hunting for me.
Yeah, and, of course.
We know what I said.
I think we just played. Neil, a certain man was worried about Neil's sexual prowess, which we all know about, you know? I mean, who's not worried about Neil's sexual prowess?
All normal.
Okay. All right. All right. We got 3 minutes left. We need to get the ranking done. All right.
Okay.
Are we gonna agree on Marquee as being the next worst?
Yeah, I'm okay with. Yeah, fine.
Let's toss it in.
They've got some bad times.
Okay. Yeah, Marquee. So now we got lower, Simons and Gilberts.
Okay.
I'm gonna go with it's Gilberts or lower on this one.
It's Gilberts.
I think Gilberts purely because of the high that you experience late night drunk at lower.
Oh yeah.
It's kind
Do you agree, JD?
Mystical element to it. Yeah.
Yeah.
Because when you hit late Simon, it's kind of there's a certain privacy in a crowd at lower, and there's a lot of people there. There's late night Simons, is, you know, your soul stayed there in the world. You're waiting in line. You have to talk to someone in person and order a sandwich. And for me, it's always a make your own. So I have to like.
You got to explain the whole Sam. Yeah. That's true. It, you know, that's so, true. There's not a very personal factor at lower. You know, it's you got the receipt, you pick it up, there's no interaction.
It's, the middleman is the robot, and you just stand there sort of like expectantly, and they have to do it for you, you know, and no matter how drunk you are, like people just order all sorts of shit and somehow manage to get through that place.
And that's a lovely, and that's just lovely. So I think lower is better than Gilbert's.
Okay.
Yeah.
So the top two, Simon's and lower.
And then that's pretty clear to me, I think. I don't know about you guys.
Simons takes it for me.
Yeah.
It's Simons.
They've got good food. You can
they got good food.
Good
they got
sandwich.
Good food.
No matter what, you can count on your favorite sandwich happening for you, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, for sure.
Always. All right. Glad we got that list.
Well. Yeah. What do you think? Do we want to cut it off here or do one more?
I don't know if I could do another one.
Okay. But I think we should definitely do another one soon.
Oh, absolutely. I got a lot of thoughts now.
I want to talk about how I did Subway grocery.
Yeah, that's going to happen next time. Tune in, listeners, I don't know.
and what I want to do is I want to remind everyone of what our other exclusive content is, because if we ever do end up releasing this video as exclusive content to our Patreon listeners, then alongside it will be the other exclusive content, which I don't know if you guys know.
We only have 20
what
seconds
is it?
Left.
What is
speak
it?
Speed it up.
Hurry, quick, say it.
I'll talk about it next time. I'll talk about it
okay.
next time.
Okay, all right. A little cliffhanger. I love it.
Thank you so much for listening, listener. We will we'll speak to you soon.